Have 8 speakers come up, about 3 to 5, 10 minutes, whatever, about their what CA means to you. You know, so we're going to start with Angie L.
Yeah, it does. Hi, everybody. I'm an addict named Angie.
Hi, Angie.
My clean date is 10/6/14. What CA means to me? Wow, it means a lot. I have learned a whole new way of life. Okay, today I'm living in a solution. I no longer need to use. I have my CA family to go to for help, support, work on the steps. I have an awesome sponsor. I mean, wow. Sponsor sisters, my grand sponsor. I couldn't have done this without CA. My father has died since I've been in CA. I didn't think I would be able to handle that, but I did without using. I had to move, and man, my CA family came like ants at a picnic. I mean, I was hyperventilating. I was just so blown away by the help and the support and just how everybody showed up there for me. I mean, never in my life have I had people come and care and be there when I needed help, and it felt really good. I mean, I love this. I mean, every day is like not, I mean, I go to my big book for solutions, or I call my sponsor. I feel that there's no reason ever to use again. There's no problem that could come along too big that I would ever have to use behind it again, you know. And with that, I pass.
All right, next up, we're going to have Samuel.
All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Samuel. I am an addict.
Hello.
My clean date is February 23rd, 2013. Yay! So that's 11 months, you know, getting there, almost at that year. What CA has done for me. CA has given me my life. CA lets me live a life. CA has given me a design for living, and I'm so grateful for this program. I had gone to other fellowships before, like 6 years ago, and I'm getting all nervous now, it's like shaky. And I didn't find the right people there. I found the people here, and I fit in with these people. Something about this, I locked in, and I noticed that right away. I met Dane at bingo nights, one night at CA Central Office, and I was like, this is like a family. So I just locked in, and I never felt that way at any other fellowship. And I wanted this because the way I was living before was just horrible, and I knew there was a solution, but I really grabbed onto this because I needed that fellowship, and I needed this. That's just what it all comes down to, is I needed that first step, and I needed to know people like me were doing this and staying sober and living a whole new life. And I like that, you know, I like that a lot, and that's why I decided to stay. Now I'm in a band. Now I have like my own job where I'm self-employed. I'm doing things I want to do, and I love doing it. I've moved like 3 times, gotten like 3 different jobs, you know, my whole life has spun around, and I have this program and you people to thank for it. It's really the greatest thing that I've ever been given, you know, and it's thank God for that, because without my higher power being there for me, I would never have met any of you. I would have been dead. And I know that if I ever use one more time, I will be dead. And I keep telling myself that, because if I think I can come back, I'm just telling myself a lie. You know, I don't think I have another recovery. I know I don't have another recovery, because where I left off before was at that breaking point of either living a life that's going to kill me forever or get sober. You know, I didn't have any other choice. It was dive into destruction or dive into recovery. And I wanted recovery because I had had glimpses of it. And I had finally hit a low enough bottom to realize that this was going to work if I worked it. And I knew the little slogans, and they kept on reminding me. And I'm just grateful. You know, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful I'm a backup. You know, I didn't expect to do this, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, Thomas, he's saying my name. I'm like, what's going on? You know, what? I hear my name. So, but I'm happy. You know, I'm happy I can do this. This is great. I want to be here. So, with that, I pass.
Thank you, Samuel. All right, next up we have LaTaryn.
All right. All right.
Do look different up here. Hi, I'm LaTaryn. I'm an addict.
Hi,
CA has done for me today is what CA has done for me today is bring people into my life like Tina, Thomas. We got Tracy somewhere running around here. And you know, they make me do these things that I never thought I would do, like stand up here and talk to you and tell you how my life has changed. I'm shaking in my boots right now. But I've seen worse times, and I've grown to love these people. And there was a time where I couldn't say anything, and I sat in a corner, and I was used to that corner, and they pulled me out of it, and they helped me change, and they helped me learn to live. And you know, I don't know where I would be today without these people making me do stuff. I come in here tonight, they give me a walkie-talkie, you know, and I quit long time ago, but these are the people you're gonna work with next year. And you can't quit once you meet these people. You can't quit nothing, and they won't let you. They hold you up, they build you up, they make you feel good, they make you feel welcome. And you know, I've never met a better group of people than the people that I've met in CA. So I'm good. I want my candle now. Bye-bye.
Last year we gave out Skittles candles, so we decided to change it up, and they're getting Starburst candles this year. All right, so next we have John.
Like to welcome. My name is John. I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
Sobriety date August 6th of 08. Like to welcome everybody here tonight, and let me start by saying what Cocaine Anonymous has done for me. Born 6/21/1953 in Amsterdam.
5 minutes.
You said 5 to 10. Came to this country in 55. Didn't know what drugs or alcohol were until I was 18 years old. Never saw them. Went to small Catholic high school. Parents never drank or drugged. I went through an experience when I was 8 and 9 in a Catholic school system where I was sexually abused for 2 years, pretty severely. That turned me into what I would say, what happens to people that are put through that kind of a ordeal. You either become what was done to you, or you become a control freak, which is what I did. Nobody's gonna ever tell me what to do or control me again. So that is gonna lead me into, I went to my first CA meeting in August of 1983 down at Lexington Brothers Hospital in Elk Grove Village. Company I worked for said, you need help. I had gone to an NA meeting the night before, a bunch of 17-year-olds, and I'm 30, and I said, I ain't going back to that damn meeting. And they said, we got a brand new meeting starting. It's called Cocaine Anonymous. It's 32 years ago. And as a person that never drank or didn't use any other drug other than cocaine, I kind of fit in right away. And I remember that meeting used to have 150 people every Saturday night down there. And so my problem was, though, is that I was never going to let anybody tell me what to do. And I really struggled with step three. I knew who my God was, went to Catholic school my whole life, but how did he let this happen to me? And I struggled with that for years. Never told anybody about that until I was 48 years old. Nobody knew. My first wife, second wife. And I remember my old sponsor, Steve Manson, a lot of you knew. He said, Johnny, he says, as long as you continue to jump over that step and not work on that step, you're going to stay relapsing. And I did. I mean, I'd get a year clean, 2 years clean, 3 years clean, and I'd always go back out there. And I remember the company I worked for in Chicago for 17 years put me through Hazelden for 9 months, put me through Forest Hospital in Des Plaines twice, 14-month countdown recovery program. Came up here finally in 02, had burned all my bridges. I did a 3-year stint in the VA, went through a year and a half PTSD program there. And ultimately, from all the years of using IV cocaine, I had Hep C, it turned into liver cancer. And they basically saved my life, but at the same time, everybody I knew at that point had said, get away from us, we don't want to know you. And that's the bridges I had burned. That's where I was at that point. I had a few years clean. And once again, I got a large sum of money when I got put on disability, and I went back out there in 05 and hit it pretty hard. I had to go to jail for a year up here. I sat there in jail and said to myself, you know, what is it that everybody else has got a period of sobriety that I don't have? And I said, because I will not turn my will and life over to carry God as I understand him, because I don't understand him. And that was a big struggle for me. And so for that year I sat in jail pretty much every day, I started to try to talk to him a little bit at a time. And today I've got right with my higher power, who I choose to call God. I knew who he was all the time. I just hated him. Be honest with you, that's where, you know, where I was. I remember I had 18 months after getting out of jail, and I went out for one night. And that was on August 5th of 08. Used about $2,000 that night. And I ran back to a meeting the next night. And I've been clean ever since. And every day, I give thanks to my higher power. I've been through a lot the last couple years. Mom and Dad have both died. I have not had to go out there and use. You know, I still have struggles in my life. But, you know, the only thing that I can tell everybody here from my experience is that what I don't talk about or get out of my system, I'm going to use about. And like I said, for 48 years, I didn't tell anybody about that shit. And if you're going to keep that shit so tight to your vest, you're going to get high over it. That's all I got. With that, I'll pass.
All right. Pete, come on up.
Oh, yay!
Pete, addict, alcoholic. Sobriety date is 10/31/01. Yeah, I was in and out of the doors of Cocaine Anonymous for about 11 years before I got my first year. I wasn't willing to do the work. A lot of you saw me come in and out of the doors. I was at a lot of the events. I was doing a lot of the fellowship stuff. I was at conventions. I was playing volleyball. I was at dances. I was whitewater rafting. And then somebody said to me, Pete, what step are you working? I'm like, huh? I'm supposed to be working these steps? So once on that date that I made that decision to finally surrender and give up, I was willing to do whatever I had to do to stay clean and sober. And because when I first came around, I thought it was just about not getting high and drinking, because all I knew is I was sick and tired of waking up in jail. I was sick and tired of living in a park. I was sick and tired of digging through the garbage, looking for little cigarette butts that I could smoke because I didn't have any money to buy any. And that's all I wanted, to not use, to wake up in the morning, remember what I did the night before. And that's all I wanted. And I thought that's all this was. And then I finally realized that it was much more than that. I mean, I learned so much from you people. This is where I learned how to live. And I'm not blaming my mom and dad. My mom and dad did the best that they could. But I didn't learn the things from them that I learned from you people in here. This is where I learned to live. This is where I learned how to accept people, to love people, to accept love. Because the time in this program that you would get so close to me, and that would be it. That's it. I'm very uncomfortable with that. Today, I'm okay with that. This is where I learned how to live life. And the biggest thing that you guys have given me, I read this killer book, hey?
Yeah.
Killer book. And on January 29th, I read this, and it's very appropriate. Because this is the main thing you people gave me. A Quiet Peace.
Oh. Yeah!
Yeah. It says, once I finally admitted that I had a problem, a spiritual solution became the answer. I finally realized that drugs were never my problem. I had been mistakenly trying to use them for my solution. I finally was able to put aside the old solution and open myself up to God. That's the whole key to my thing. Helping others in God. God is the answer to all my problems today. And not just having a God of my understanding, but having a personal relationship with that God is key to my recovery today. That I can go to all the meetings that I want. I can read out of the book. If I'm not helping others and having God in my life, it's not going to work for me. So I God is the most important part of this program for me. And that's what, and it's because I didn't come to this program to find God, man. I just wanted to not get fucking high. And then I see you guys, and I mean, and this God thing, I mean, I've been around the program since 1982. AA, I was in and out of the doors of AA. I've been in and out for 18 years before I got 1 year. And just within the past year, have I built that personal relationship with God. And it is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable journey, because it tells me all throughout this thing that it's not humanly possible. A, B, and C, God couldn't. What if you were sought? You know, no human being could relieve me of my addiction. God only could. And that is the key for everything in my life. Do I always present myself that way? No. Ask the people that I hang with and see me around. I don't, you know. But I try. I try, and I'm aware of that. And that's what I want today for myself. And it's because of you people I have this, and I thank you for that. Thank you.
All right. Pete declined his candle, so the next speaker will get two. All right, our next speaker is Manny S. I'm taking away your notes.
Okay.
Four.
Hello, everyone. My name is Manny. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. And I am extremely grateful to be here tonight. One thing I wanted to bring up right here, right now, is to thank the committees for putting this whole event for us together. So, thank you, all you committee people. I go to area, I'm a GSR for Coke Busters on Tuesday night, and I get a chance to go see those guys try to put these deals together, you know, and it's a good thing to see them do this. Maybe I'm thinking of getting a little more involved in it. That's yeah. So what Cocaine Anonymous, my sobriety date is, I forget, I got Alzheimer's, I'm getting a little old, is February 5th, get ready for this, 1998, you know, so way back in the 2000s, so I want a minute per year. I want to go a little bit over something every year, so I want 1 minute per year. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay, all right. But, you know, like I've heard a lot of what Cocaine Anonymous has done for me. First, I started in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I still go to that fellowship. I know people in there. And I just could not get rid of that obsession of my mind with cocaine. So I had talked to my sponsor about it. I'm going to start going to Cocaine Anonymous, and he gave me his best opinion that, you know, just stick it out here, and I couldn't. So I started going to the Friday night in Colas, and like I had heard here, is I felt a belonging there, you know, and I saw other people that had wherever they were, their addiction, but they were dealing with that addiction. You know, a fellowship. That's what I saw was a fellowship, a place that I could go hang out rather than go to a bar or a drug house. So that's how I started out there. And like I heard a couple of us say that they just floated around in the fellowship, and that's what I did too. I just floated around in the fellowship for a couple years before somebody was asking me, what step are you on? I was 1 in 12. That's all I was. You know, I was one of those guys. And, you know, some of us, we do that. We can do that. And I recommend you don't do it, because I was hanging by a thread for a lot of years that way. Whether I didn't know if I wanted to stay or if I wanted to leave. You know, I was on that fence. And a lot of the times I was leaning too far. And I am just truly so fortunate that what Cocaine Anonymous did for me, you people, what you did for me is you put up with my nonsense for all those years, you know, and that, I'm extremely grateful for that. I used to hear guys say that, you know, you guys put up with my nonsense. What are they talking about? When I look back, those early years, that's what I was, just all full of BS. But that's all I could do was just hang out. And I got to this, I don't know if I want to say healthy ones, because they get their egos get all swollen up when they, you know. But the ones that were doing this deal, they were working these steps. They were talking about these steps. One guy that comes to mind is Mike B. He passed away a couple years ago. And I was afraid of that guy, because he talked so spiritual all the time. You know, and he was just one of us, but he always had a message. If he wanted to get serious about the message, he would talk about it. And I would just, oh, not for me, and I'd walk away from him. But once I got serious about these steps, you know, we get into these groups, and they would, you know, you're a 1, a 2, or 3 on your breakout. It didn't matter if I was whatever number I was. What he was, that's, I was at his table because I wanted to hear what he had to say. You know, I wanted to change, and that's what this whole deal is. You guys have taught me that I got to change. I got to get that higher power. And let that higher power grow in me, and it has. You know, I stuck this out, like many of us, we're all miracles, and just stick and stay. Like I've heard them all say, don't, you know, that's the whole key. Stick and stay. You know, and that's what I try to keep in mind for me. What Cocaine Anonymous has helped me do is get my family back. It's helped me to retire. I'm retired now. I don't have to worry about. I don't have a fear anymore of any kind of money right now. It just comes in, and because I paid my dues at that job that I had too. and what I do is I just go volunteer now. This one guy told me years ago, he says, I don't even spend that much money anymore because I'm volunteer. I go to the Passing On Club, I volunteer there. I try to do stuff for CA. I go to a public school and I do some volunteering there. So. That's what you taught me to do, is to volunteer to help others and trust in God to help others, and that's what I'm doing. I want to thank you for that, and I'll pass it.
Sure. You didn't mention your SOS club. All right, next we got Jill coming on up.
Jill, drug addict, alcoholic.
Jill.
I didn't even know what the topic was until tonight.
What has CA done for you?
Yeah, I got that. In fact, I looked on the schedule and I was like, I don't even see that meeting on here. Maybe I don't have to speak. So my sobriety date is March 6, 1992. I would like CA to give me retirement. That would be nice. That would. That would be the best. So what has CA given me?
Done for me.
You know, I was sitting over there, and I'm kind of listening to other people talk, and I'm trying to think of what has it given me, and listening to Manny talk about thanks for putting up with me. I think it took me 15 years to finally mature to the point where I didn't go off on people and take shit personal all the time. And I was thinking that it's given me a place where I can come tonight in a room full of people and feel like I'm spending Christmas with my family, my personal family, where I like to go and I like to visit with them and I like to spend time with them and I miss them when I don't see them. And when I come to meetings or events, I have that same love and compassion and joy in seeing the people that I see all the time at the meetings. If you would have asked me that when I first came in, that would have been a no, I don't want to talk to you, I don't love you, and I don't like you. I think that CA has given me, or done for me, has given me the ability to show up at a meeting dressed however I want. I can sit and cry during the meeting if I want. I can be crabby during the meeting if I want. Basically, I have a place that I can go and be whoever I am at that moment and not be turned away because somebody doesn't like that or whatever. I have been given mostly unconditional love. I have been allowed to grow up and mature. CA has taught, there's many experiences that go on in life, loss of parent or whatever it is, which I have not experienced yet, the parent thing, but as we go through life that I never learned the tools on how to handle, and these meetings and CA has given me the tools to handle all of life's situations. Whether they seem dramatic at the time or little, you know, little things, and handle them in a respectable fashion. It's given me integrity. As much as I do not necessarily enjoy committee meetings or any sort of function meeting, get-together, planning stuff, it has given me skills to do better in my job and to deal with people on the outside on a regular basis. I think today that I am the person that I always wanted to be and at some point was before I started using, and I'm allowed to be that person today without being told I should be somebody else. And I guess one of the most important things is that I found a God of my understanding, and there's nobody in here that's going to tell me it's not the right one, or that I should do things a certain way or whatever it is. And you know, and I have gratitude today for the people in this program and the things that I have. Now I'm going to get my candle. Thanks. All right.
Thanks, Jill. All right.
Thanks, Jill.
If you haven't noticed, we've been going up in recovery. So our last speaker will be Jim. Come on up, Jim.
My
My name is Jim. I'm an addict and alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 9 of 88. Woo! That would be 1988, okay? You see, guys? Since I have trouble remembering what I had for lunch yesterday, it's hard for me to go back to when I came into the room, but I do remember it quite vividly. You know, I came in broken, godless, hopeless, and didn't belong there. And, you know, in the old days, we always heard all these cliches all the time. And one of them was, suit up, show up, shut up. And then the other was, we're going to love you until you can love yourself. And, you know, I miss all those, hearing those things. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You have no idea what I've done in my life. You know, how the hell can you love me? I can't love myself. And so I just, you know, I kept going to the meetings, just showing up. And again, I didn't belong there. Then I hear people talk about what it was like, what they did, and what it's like today. And I'm going, damn, they're telling my story. You know, all of a sudden I'm starting to think, maybe I do belong here. And then I decided to go all in, and I got a sponsor, started working the steps, and of course, you know, that also having a sponsor meant that you were going to set up the room, clean up the room, clean the ashtrays, make coffee, and early on, my sponsor said, we got step whatever next week, you're going to do the lead. I go, I'm not on that. He said, well, I guess you'll learn, won't you? Okay. And I love that fellowship. Those people saved my life. And I can't begin to tell you all the great things that have happened to me because of it, but one of the things is the people that were going to that meeting, and then we started having coffee, and then we play cards once in a while. Then they used to go on this golf trip. One of the guys had a cottage in the Nicolet National Forest, and we would have a male bonding weekend. And it was just cards, relaxation, golf, fun. And I don't know how many years ago. We still do that today, the same group of guys. So it's well over 20 years we've been doing this. Only now we take each other's inventory, you know, all the time. Newcomers don't do that, okay? But in any event, you know, as time went on, you know, one day I realized that I no longer have the obsession to use that had been lifted from me. And every meeting, you guys know I'm crazy about the promises. Every meeting I'd hear the promises read. And basically it would say to me, this is why you want to work the steps to the best of your ability. This is what you want. And I realized that these steps were coming true in my life. Found God again, you know, because of working the steps. Had a relationship that you know, anytime I was confronted with an issue, I just prayed for God's wisdom and understanding, you know, for my wisdom and understanding from God to show me his will and how to carry that out. And, you know, life is so much easier when you don't have to take control of the whole world like we used to. You know, now I take care of me. God guides me and I take care of my business. And I still go to that same meeting that I got clean and sober at. And it's probably not for everyone because it's a treatment facility. It's very heavy with newcomers. But I want to tell you, I love that meeting. And those people keep me grounded in reality. You know, they teach me what it's really like out there. And it's my day was a cakewalk compared to what these kids are facing today. And I wish we had more support from people with sobriety, because we have trouble getting enough sponsors, but enough of the commercials. I do thank each and every one of you for all you've done for me, all the love and support, and I wish you another 24 clean and sober. Thank you.
All right, big round of applause for all our speakers. Yeah! All right, so stick around. We're gonna have bingo coming up in a little while. Marathon meeting started at 9 and going for a while. Tomorrow, we have a lot of good workshops, speakers, and a lot of good recovery. So thank you for coming out tonight.
Thanks, Tom.